You are listening to a sermon by Carl Brown, recorded on Sunday, August 13th, 2023, at Point Grarrington Mennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgrmf.org.
Why me, God? Well, unlike some sermons that I recall as a child, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, what you're doing wrong in your life, or what to believe. I'm merely presenting some ideas about how we view God in prayer. And remember, the concepts and views that I'm presenting today are not necessarily shared by me, because they're wildly different. I'm just trying to get us to think deeply about our personal relationship with the Lord. Now, these four Bible readings, Genesis, where God lays down the rules for the earth, Luke, where Jesus says, well, you know, if you're sinning, you're sinning. There's no such thing as a worth sinner. And Matthew, the parable about the mustard seed containing a whole tree. And Mark's miracle about the loaves and fishes seem a little disparate, but they all tie together, and they were all inspiring to me for this talk. If you believe in God at all, then it's most likely you believe he is the creator of everything. He made the rules for this universe, and his universe follows those rules. What rules? Well, gravity, time, thermodynamics, etc. The physical rules that allow the universe to exist. Our readings from Genesis this morning give us some idea of his work and the rules that he set in place. Does God himself ever break these rules? Now, that's a very important question from a believer's point of view. We all understand what an atheist is, someone who does not believe in God. But what is a theist? What is a deist? Generally, a theist is one who believes that God made the universe and likes to play with it, a creator who intervenes in the universe and specifically in human affairs. A deist is one who believes that God made the universe and does not mess with it. A deist believes that God does not intervene in human affairs. So if you can imagine a line between these two, the deist and the theist, it's kind of a spectrum. Both the deist and the theist views are often modified by believers, and they place themselves on that spectrum. Believers personalize their beliefs depending upon their own personal concept of God. A theist, believing that God does intervene in human affairs, might attribute a deadly earthquake to God. God caused it to happen at that time to those people. Or when one person is spared in an airplane crash that killed hundreds of other passengers, a theist might propose that God must have chosen that single person to live. A deist, however, might say that gravity, pressure, and thermodynamics, the rules set up by God, caused the earthquake. The planet was merely following those rules. God did not specifically cause that earthquake to happen in that particular place to those particular people. It just happened according to God's rules that he set up in the beginning. A theist might wail, "Oh God, why did this terrible thing happen to me?" A deist might say instead, "Well, that's the way life goes. You cannot blame God for terrible things." As our Bible reading went this morning, they were not worse sinners than others. So keeping in mind those two ways of looking at how God runs the universe, let's talk about prayer. If you believe that God intervenes in human affairs, prayer is important. It's the theist's way of dealing with the troubles that he feels powerless in. I used to tell a children's story about prayer. I'll tell a short version of it here. A sleeping child dreams of heaven. In the evening, In heaven, angels are busy with loops tied to many big baskets to let down to earth to be filled with prayers and hauled back to heaven in the morning. At the end of their labors of lowering the multitude of big baskets, the angels solemnly let down a single small basket. And the child asks about the small basket. The angels answer that the big baskets are for the ocean of nightly requests, the demands, and the pleading prayers. But only one small basket is needed to hold all the prayers of thanks. It's an amusing story, and it touches our hearts with the bittersweet truth. We want God to fix our lives, to make our lives more like we wish they were. What's the big problem with being a theist? Well, the theist has problems in that God does not always answer prayer. And we've all likely heard the conundrum about how could God allow bad things to happen in this world? It goes like this. One, God is all powerful. Two, God is all knowing. Three, God is all loving. So what about the prayer requests that are not fulfilled? That's when the theist has difficulties, because if items 1 to 3 are true, God knows your needs, has power to fill your needs, and because he loves you, he will fulfill these needs. But he doesn't. Not always. The theist resolves this difficulty in a number of ways. The disappointed theist might say, I haven't been good enough for my prayers. Or, God is teaching me a lesson. Or, God is testing me. Or, other things. Humans are imaginative. And so that is the theist's problem and some of the solutions he might propose to his unanswered prayer. Now let's look at the deist. The deist believes in the watchmaker God, that God, like a watchmaker, made the universe with those rules, wound it up like a watch, and let it run. In the same way that a watch will keep perfect time according to its construction and run without any intervention from the watchmaker, God has made the rules for the universe to follow: gravity, thermodynamics, time, etc. And he does not have to intervene in its running. Consider the mustard seed. That teeny tiny vessel contains all the DNA, RNA, nutrients, and whatever other goop that we humans can't make. In other words, it contains the rules to create a tree. Even without God's intervention, that seed grows into a tree that makes more seeds. Just like the seed, using rules, or physical laws, if you will, God created the universe such that it does not require his intervention to run. So a deist believes that God would not break his own rules in this universe by intervening in the lives of humans. Okay, if the unanswered prayer is the problem affecting the theist, what is the deist's big problem? Jesus Christ. Jesus came to earth, God in the form of a man. He performed miracles. I chose the loaves and fishes miracle reading this morning because of all the miracles in the gospel, this one is in every one of the gospels, and it was performed in front of at least 5,000 witnesses. Pretty difficult to deny that one. Deists have to either modify their belief by admitting that God has intervened in the past via Jesus, or modify Jesus the Christ and say that he was not really God. And that's a pretty big problem for the deist. The theist who believes in the power of prayer has the answer for failed prayers. The deist who believes that God will never answer prayer because God never intervenes in human affairs has to explain Jesus. And so in these two believers, we have a continuum of how to view prayer. Now, just to keep them straight, because deist and theist sound so similar, little help charts here. This is, I don't know if you can see it, this is the deist. It's got a little watch on it. And this is the theist. Got a little cloud on it, indicating he's a spirit on earth. Yeah, I know I look silly. Sometimes it's good to look outside one's beliefs and investigate the beliefs of other people so that we can better understand our beliefs. The Jewish friends that I've enjoyed throughout my life have shared a few things with me, and those things have helped me with my own belief and the way I pray. One of my Jewish friends would tell me stories of his father, and I specifically cherish the stories of his father's prayers as a Jew. One of these stories is very short, and it goes like this. It's after dinner, and father is upset. He's slowly pacing around the small living room in their New York apartment. After about 10 minutes and one cigar, father stops pacing, stands still, and with the cigar still in his hand, raises his fist and shakes it at the ceiling, shouting, "God, this is Hubble. I know you're listening." Thus begins Father's nighttime prayer. I like the story because it's a delightful illustration of the easy familiarity that many Jewish folk have with God. More than half the Bible has to do with Jewish history. The Jewish folk have a pretty long-term relationship with God compared to Christians, and they have a lot of experience with prayer. What can we take away from looking at Jewish traditions and laws? What can those amongst us who lean towards deism or theism learn from them to help us with our problems with prayer? I was surprised to find out that the Jewish tradition teaches quite a lot about prayer. Specifically, I was a bit startled to find out that they teach what you cannot pray for, what you can pray for, and what prayers are forbidden. I'm going to begin with number three because everybody always wants to know the forbidden. It's forbidden to pray for evil things to happen. And yes, I know that many of you have immediately created a mental image of someone praying for Trump to win the election. That's not what I'm talking about. Here's an example. If you see an ambulance parked on the street of your cherished sister, you are forbidden to pray, "Don't let that ambulance be there because of my sister." That would be a cruel prayer because you are, in a negative way, praying for someone else to be sick instead of your loved one. That is forbidden. Number one on the list of how to pray for Jewish people, what you cannot pray for. You cannot pray for the things that you can do yourself. We should not, as an example, pray, "Oh God, please help the families in our area who are hungry." For, you see, we already have resources to help those people ourselves. Why should we be asking God to do our work for us? So don't ask God to do the things that you can do yourself. Number two, what you can pray for. You can pray for the grace to be thankful for what you have, rather than complain about what you lack. You can pray for the determination to help others with their problems. You can pray for the courage to face up to your difficulties. And you can pray for the strength to bear the unbearable. I think that we Christians can learn a few good things from the Jewish faith. Okay, returning to our two extremist believers, our deist and our theist, what help could we offer our theist when his prayers are unanswered? We might ask just what it was he prayed for. Was he asking for a better relationship with his children? Well, looking at the Jewish list above, number one, that's something that he, as a father, should be working on himself. That's not God's job. We should not be asking God to do work that we are here on earth to do. What help could we offer our deist, who believes that God would never intervene no matter what you pray for? Well, when a prayer is asking for God to break his rules and mess up his smoothly ticking universe, we could agree with the deist that some things are not proper to pray for. Praying for God to cure your aunt's cancer would require divine intervention, breaking God's rules. Praying for the strength to be with your aunt while she suffers, and the grace to put up with her complaints. That's not going to change the universe. And it's certainly a prayer that God is able to grant without messing up his universe. So in the end, what can we learn from our two extremists, the deist and the theist? Well, we can say that neither one of the extremists treats prayer fairly. Even if our deist believed that prayer does not move mountains, the deist can understand that prayer can give you strength and give you grace. And even if our theist does not understand why his prayers are unanswered, the theist can understand that although God might not create miracles for him, God still loves him and will always grant him the strength to keep his faith strong. Those of us here, and most believers, lie somewhere between the deist and the theist. We pray, and we pray together. Is our faith broken when our prayers are unanswered? No, but sometimes we wonder why they are unanswered, and sometimes we worry about it. Is it worth praying if prayers are sometimes unanswered? Yes. Prayer itself binds us to others so that we don't have to face our troubles alone. Prayer puts us in touch with others who have faced the same troubles. Prayer helps us to feel, to realize the connection that we share with God. What then should we pray for besides to give thanks? Courage, strength to bear what we cannot bear, the ability to focus on the good things in life that still exist for us despite our present suffering, the faith and fortitude to live bravely, even though there is no happy ending. The very act of asking God for strength, patience, or whatever, the act itself strengthens our faith. We all know that talking to someone strengthens the relationship. Talking to God in prayer strengthens our faith. He can and does give us strength, courage, friends who share their shoulder when we think we cannot go on. And these gifts won't break his universe. And he gives these blessings freely. To talk to God. I know you're listening, God. Is our right. And I believe it's God's delight for us to pray. Amen.